Hello, and welcome back to SearchContentManagement.com. I'm Lauren Horwitz, Executive Editor in the Business Applications and Architecture Group, and we're continuing today our discussion of Office 365 services and kind of mapping out some of the capabilities in various offerings within Office 365 and talking a little bit about some of what Sean Schell, our guest today, has described as overlap by design. So, Sean, I want to welcome you back.
Thank you.
Thanks for,
glad to be here.
Yeah, thanks for coming back and joining us. And we've been talking a little bit about SharePoint Online and SharePoint On-Premises and also OneDrive for Business and what those services mean in terms of document sharing and collaboration and sort of a cloud-based roadmap. So now let's talk about some of the other services available in Office 365, because I think there's some confusion. Maybe you can address that. So let's start with, say, Delve, which is sort of an enterprise search tool of sorts, and Office Graph, which is kind of powering Delve. So what are these services kind of ready for prime time? What do you think about them, and what can users expect from them?
Well, I think they are ready for prime time in the sense that the technology is baked. I think what might be a bit of more of a challenge is customers' understanding of where this particular tool happens to fit in the grand scheme of their collaborative services. Delve is a perfect example. It's a very radically different mechanism to collaborate, and it uses a lot of existing services. It taps into Exchange for email and OneDrive for Business for some personal content. It looks at your calendar. It looks at other people's calendars. And then it uses search as a way of weaving together a composite view of all of the interactions you might have across the enterprise. And that, I think, can be an overwhelming proposition just to conceptualize, let alone use. And there's also some concerns, I know it's been written about a number of times, around security and do we accidentally expose the wrong kinds of content to the wrong kinds of people. So in the end, I think it's ready for prime time. What is probably not ready is simply the use cases that are well-defined and the governing principles that customers can apply to this service. But, you know, I'm excited about the idea of having that kind of a composite view of my work and this new mechanism for finding content that's relevant for me to accomplish what I need to do in the day.
And forgive me if this question is off base, but, you know, we talked in the first part of this podcast a little bit about some of the shortfalls of enterprise search in a hybrid scenario with SharePoint on-prem and SharePoint online. Do you think ultimately this could address some of that?
Well, I think that the challenges there still remain. In other words, the search is reliant on getting access to content sources. And today, SharePoint Online has no real ability to connect to things it doesn't understand, meaning I can't immediately connect to my local file shares on-premise from the cloud because there's no facility to define how to get that done. In on-premise implementations of SharePoint, you can define content sources, and one of the content sources you can define is a local file share. Online doesn't have that capability, and that's still a gap that we see between online and on-premise. So in that way, there's still a challenge. Delve relies on the online search, and if you want to use that service, you have to basically rely on the online search component. There are ways, perhaps, to weave in other things. So, for example, I think I mentioned at one point this idea of exposing your SAP implementation or Oracle EBS implementation through SharePoint. And that you can do now through the business connectivity services, and you can expose that content. So there's potentially a way to get that done. It's just more complicated than many customers would probably likely pursue.
Mm. So now let's talk about something that's gotten a little bit less airtime, which is Sway, kind of a web presentation tool, and changes to groups. Do you see mm-hmm. Sway as useful at this point?
Sway, for me, represents Microsoft's acknowledgement that the traditional approach to presenting information needs to change. And Microsoft isn't on the leading edge. There's been a few other startups that have created new storytelling mechanisms that allow you to present content and convey a message to an audience in a very different way. Sway is Microsoft's attempt. It's an interesting one, and it really takes on this idea of really telling a story and doing so in a visually compelling way, in a way that feels a little bit more natural. I'll be honest, though, I'm still kind of old school and very PowerPoint-centric, but it's an exciting evolution in Microsoft's thinking around presenting content. Groups really are kind of a new modality, if that makes any sense, in Office 365. If we look at it through the SharePoint lens, we had team sites where you brought together a small team of individuals. You were going to create one or more artifacts. At some point, one of those artifacts might be the final, and then you move that into something else, right? So it's a collaborative approach. Because Office 365 is now a fairly vast collection of services, Microsoft is making an effort to try to change how those services are combined and do so in a way that still allows you to feel familiar. It's something I've seen before. Tools I'm used to working in, they're combined differently. I think there is a thought that perhaps SharePoint sometimes feels a little too heavy, right, administratively burdensome. And we want to create a facility that feels a little lighter, a little bit more agile, and combine a number of different services into something new where I can still collaborate, but it's easier to use. I can onboard individuals a bit easier. I can deal with the eventual external user, not just the internal users, much more easily. And focus on just producing those artifacts rather than having to worry about all the other stuff that SharePoint adds is kind of this monolithic platform.
Mm. So less administration and getting to the kind of the business of collaborating and communicating a little bit faster.
Yeah, and I think it falls in line with the idea that a lot of the startups in this space, the collaboration startups in this space, have demonstrated that Microsoft is a different way to think about how people interact. And Groups is Microsoft's approach or attempt at achieving that with the existing services that people are already used to using, like portions of SharePoint, like OneDrive, like the online office products, and all of the new collaboration, co-authoring, simultaneous editing that they've announced recently.
Got it. So now there's always been a lot of conversation about Yammer and Yammer's role in SharePoint, and also Yammer's role in the enterprise and whether companies are really exploiting it. And then there's also Skype for Business and some enterprise social networking capabilities there. Can you talk about those two services and what how users might want to think about those services?
Sure. I think Yammer's been in the market long enough for people to kind of understand this idea of status updates and short messaging and the idea of using or combining that short messaging or status updates with artifacts that might be contained in some sort of collaborative effort, perhaps in SharePoint or otherwise. Microsoft hasn't done as much as I would have expected it making the integration between Yammer and SharePoint example. For example, as smooth or elegant as maybe we would have hoped, given how long ago Yammer was purchased by Microsoft. But it's an enduring conversation tool that Microsoft has, in the last, say, 18 months, done a fair bit of work to kind of integrate much more elegantly into SharePoint, creating discussions that are Yammer-centric. And in our earlier podcast, we talked a little bit about what changes are happening in SharePoint Online, and I suggested the changes were less about SharePoint and more about the constellation of products. And in this case, this is a good example. Office now has integrations with Yammer, so I can begin to see these Yammer conversations progress through any of the tools I use to create content. And that's pretty interesting because we're beginning to now preserve conversations or discussions around these artifacts through the tools we're used to working in, and but still with the benefit of having that long conversation preserved in a way that is searchable and discoverable by others. And when we talk about Skype for Business, that's an entirely different kind of service. Skype for Business is more like a real-time communications tool. It's not meant to have this preservation of the conversation. More real-time, I want to discuss something, I want to message back and forth with others, and it's also got telephony built in. So now I can have a verbal conversation in addition to this sort of IM capability. So two very different kinds of services positioned somewhat differently. I would hope there wouldn't be confusion about where they overlap. But one integration is that I can initiate now through presence, and this is true in the link days, right? I can initiate a verbal discussion or IM discussion from Yammer, from SharePoint. And in that way, there's overlap, not in the sense that they do the same thing, but in the sense that if I need another tool to complete a communication with a colleague, I have that access and I have that visibility in the tool I'm in at the moment without having to go find it someplace else. I think that's interesting.
Mm. And what about the idea that people want collaboration tools to be kind of native to the applications that they're working in? And that's been kind of one of the propositions behind, say, a Salesforce Chatter. You're already in Salesforce, mm-hmm. so you can kind of communicate and collaborate without opening another application. Do you think Yammer or Skype for Business, in whatever way people are using them to communicate, are those hurdles for those applications?
Well, I think it's a hurdle in the sense that no organization is homogenous from their technology standpoint. Your example of Chatter with Salesforce presumes that your life revolves around customer relationship management, and in some use cases, it probably does. You know, if you're a customer service person or a salesperson, your life probably does revolve around CRM. And in that community, Chatter may in fact be a better facility than, say, Yammer. The challenge I have is that even if you're a salesperson, you're going to get involved with non-CRM-related activities at some point. And what do you do then? You Chatter is not well integrated into anything other than Salesforce, their CRM product. And when you get into Office or you get into SharePoint to do other work, you're back to a sort of a disconnected experience. So, I think it becomes a matter of what your technological ecosystem happens to be, where you spend most of your time, and then what integrations exist for you in the context of the work that you do. So Chatter actually has been integrated into SharePoint. There are ways to connect these tools. So it really becomes a matter of how an individual organization views the collection of tools they have and how well they make those tools available to their employees, again, for specific use cases or work types.
Mm-hmm. And finally, there's been a lot of talk and excitement surrounding Power BI, the mm-hmm. Business intelligence tool in Office 365. Can you talk a little bit about that and what you think that kind of brings to the table in terms of enhancing other services or making life easier for users?
For me, Power BI represents Microsoft's next step in that BI for everyone approach they took, geez, back in SharePoint 2007. Microsoft has this history of trying to create or commoditize what used to be kind of these elite services like BI. And I think that has changed a great deal over the last decade. And Power BI takes that really kind of a step further. It's giving individual business users the tools necessary to look at or to view data sets in a way that's very accessible. I can build a dashboard very easily by asking a natural language question about that data. How many products are sold in North America? And Power BI responds with a visualization. And then through a combination of different steps within that dashboard, you can create different visualizations for different questions and then preserve that view and even share it And again, this idea of sharing it within Office 365 means it's exposed to the enterprise. That's really, really, really super compelling. And taking that a step further, Microsoft announced Cortana Analytics, which takes all of that power that Power BI presents and takes it a step further by giving you different and more natural ways to interact with data and discover new insights about how your business runs and giving you the opportunity to make maybe better decisions by creating that composite view of a number of different data sources. I think it's pretty fabulous. Mm-hmm. And they've exposed Power BI over mobile, so you can do that on your iOS device.
And would you say, so I've been talking with experts about other tools that employ, you know, BI and data visualization. Would you say that Power BI also has sort of a leg up in the sense that it can incorporate data from a lot of different data sources and make that digestible for the average business user?
I think that's a part of it, but I, you know, for me, the really interesting dimension of Power BI is this, just its accessibility to the average employee. A good technologist can quite literally get most things done through some amount of code and customization. But most people aren't technologists. And in a way, Microsoft's advantage in the Power BI space is just its pure accessibility to the average individual. The ease with which you can upload data sets that are of your own making through Excel and extract additional value out of those data sets that that you may not have been able to do previously. Mm-hmm. I think that's really interesting. And again, I think that's a part of the strategy Microsoft's employed for years, and it's not new. It just so happens the Power BI is kind of the result of all of that work over the years and all the work certainly done in Excel at the client level.
Well, Sean, thank you so much for taking the time and kind of walking us through some of these Office 365 offerings. I appreciate it, and I think our listeners will as well.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate the time, Lauren.
And I hope we're going to have you back again soon. It won't be too long. So thanks again. And for more on Microsoft's offerings in Office 365, you can always check out searchcontentmanagement.com. And until next time, I'm Lauren Horwitz. We'll be right back.